today, my guest is Jason Guss, who is CEO of Octane Lending. Welcome, Jason, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here.
We always start this podcast off with that one very important question, which I will pose to you as well. Why, Jason, do you do what you do?
So I believe that financial products, if offered correctly and responsibly, are one of the most powerful things in the world. And so we spend most of our time thinking about how we can help consumers and retailers unlock the power of financial products.
Yes, financial products support things that people do in their lives. And I love it that that is something that you're passionate about and that you want to help people get access to that. So Jason, now that we know what your why is, what is the use case that you solve for? How do you get people access to financial products?
Today, we focus on a suite of end-to-end purchasing tools that help consumers access high-ticket purchases. So this might be a purchase of their dreams, something where today the average consumer is actually utilizing either a credit card or an installment loan to access this purchase. And we do everything from lead management tools. We also offer content that helps get consumers excited about these products. We also offer a point-of-sale financing solution. And then because we do our servicing in-house, we also offer various lifecycle marketing tools. The spaces that we focus on, we started in the power sports segment, which is motorcycle, ATV, UTV, personal watercraft, and snowmobile. We've since expanded into mower, tractor, trailer, RV, and marine. And these segments encompass about $150 billion of annual U.S. sales.
So that explains the octane in the octane lending. There has to be some octane involved in anything that you finance?
Today, we believe that these high-ticket secured markets have been the most overlooked. But our grander ambition over time would be anywhere where there's a high-ticket purchase, where a financial product makes sense for a consumer. We'd ultimately like to address those markets, but we decided to start on the overlooked spaces.
That makes total sense. And that's usually the best place to start, right? There's a real need where not a lot of people are doing it, but you are actually there to help people out make those purchases. Because I can imagine, like, I don't know, an RV or a boat or even some sort of recreational vehicle, that's not kind of like little money. So having financing there can be quite helpful.
Absolutely, especially if you think about the fact that a lot of these consumers, this is their number one joy in life that they use to bond with their family and friends. And so as opposed to spending tons and tons of money to rent these products every single weekend, it actually could be far more efficient for them to utilize financing to access it. They might not have the liquidity to buy it outright, but in comparison to renting, it oftentimes makes substantial financial sense for them.
I love it how you think about how it is the joy of the people. It's the joy in their life, what they're doing, those activities, and how you can support that. Now, given that, how do your customers talk about you when they describe what you help them accomplish? What do they say?
Yeah, because we focus on these point of sale markets, we actually have very limited consumer visibility, if you will. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the folks that we are empowering are the retailers and manufacturers to offer financing for the consumer. The consumer on the one side oftentimes doesn't even care or know the name of the lender before they're signing. What they care about is, was the experience very seamless? Are they getting a fair rate? Is the monthly payment very, very reasonable within their budget? So what we're doing is offering the fastest and easiest experience to help drive that strong consumer experience. We're offering the best breed credit product that covers as many consumers as possible, yet responsibly, to help our retailers serve as many of their customers as possible. Whereas previously, a large segment of the consumer segment would have either been forced to access really expensive financial products or none at all. And then lastly, by offering various tools that help the consumer and retailer complete steps that occur before and after the financing, we're able to drive an kind of integrated end-to-end experience that bridges the financial product into the actual workflows of the retail experience.
So you're B2B to C. What do your retailers say about that experience? How do they describe it?
If we're delivering our promises, they're describing us as the fastest and easiest player in the space. We're also someone who helps drive a tremendous amount of excess leads that helps them lift sales. And we're also the most innovative and flexible. So what we always say is, it's very easy to sell money cheaper. that is more or less legacy financial services products distributed through retail channels. And so we're always trying to go above and beyond, besides just selling money cheaply, or more money cheaply, let's say, what other value can we drive that consumers care about and our retailers care about? Because if the consumers care about it, the retailers will end up caring about it because that means more sales and happier sales for them. And if the retailers care about it, it generally means that our product will also get more use cases. And that's why we went beyond just offering a point of sale financing solution. In my opinion, that's very much FinTech 1.0. You have to go beyond just that transaction. And that's when we started offering all these lead tools, all this content, lifecycle marketing, all sorts of different areas where we were expanding the footprint of what perhaps a legacy financial provider wouldn't really get involved in, that we believe actually provides better consumer experience, more sales, and happier sale.
Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking. Now, we don't know what the future is going to hold, but we can think about possible futures. So if we think 10 years out, so 2035, what do you think that the world looks like when it comes to point of sale financing, financing in the categories that you're currently in? Where would you see yourself maybe in 10 years? What does that look like?
Yeah, really great question. So I'm a big proponent of this thesis that, you know, historically investors have gotten one thing wrong in our segment, which is they view SaaS companies as purely SaaS and companies that take balance sheet exposure as purely lenders. In my opinion, the best SaaS companies will have to offer embedded financing tools and the best lending businesses will have to offer solutions that were historically offered as part of a SaaS suite, whether that's lead management, expense management, and so on. And so I see this kind of melding of the worlds happening over the next 5 to 10 years. And if we were talking 10 years from now, every single point of sale financing business or any single core platform in our space, they're called dealer management systems. You might think of them as like CRMs, are going to have a full suite of financial services products, a full suite of lead management tools, CRM capabilities, and a full suite of lifecycle marketing all embedded into one. For us specifically, the second part of the thesis that we believe is that actually it's the retailers themselves which will be the dominant consumer-facing brand. And so everything that we do is in favor of supporting their brand, unlocking the power of financial services tool and these end-to-end purchasing tools, as opposed to using our brand in front of the customer. So for example, we will white label our product so the consumer sees the retailer, small letters powered by us, of course, but we're really supporting them to do that. So those are the changes that I think will occur over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. So really convergence, like embedded finance will be the standard and that will allow many more brands to be front and center and not so much the big financial brands being the brands, but actually the retailer brands being much more visible.
And I think you have to, because if you look at the data, at least in these higher ticket markets that we focus on, people who own their own financing, it's called captive financing. Their gross profit is 20 to 40% higher than someone who doesn't. So if you have an extra 20 to 40% gross profit, that could then be reinvested into consumer discounts that no one else can compete with, customer acquisition investments that no one else can compete with, and so on. And so that economic truth is going to force this convergence. I think the players that help these retailers get better at this are going to be the winners. And that's where we are.
Yeah. Interesting. So if that becomes the truth and that becomes the future 10 years from now, what can people do today to get ready for that possible future?
Yeah, really great question. So in my opinion, SaaS businesses should just stop being afraid of balance sheet risk or exposure. Mm-hmm. Lending done wrong is one of the worst possible things, but lending done correctly and responsibly is one of the most powerful things. And so my hope is that we'll see more of these companies willing to use their balance sheet when it's helpful and correct, as opposed to just categorically saying, I'm a SaaS only business or I'm a lending only business. And I think if we can see that change with companies, those are going to be the ones that are going to be exposed to this kind of, in my opinion, shift in the market in a positive way.
I think you made a real good point there that there are no bad financial products. Sometimes people sort of categorize a product like, I don't remember in the beginning, buy now, pay later, they sort of said, oh, it's a death trap or it's a bad product. I don't think there's bad products. There's bad execution or bad use of it. But if you do it right, you're absolutely right. It provides a tremendous service to consumers.
rigorous underwriting standards so that you're responsibly giving access, or you're putting consumers in a position to succeed, not fail. Correct and thoughtful capital markets execution, so you're not over-levering your business. You have access to ample liquidity, coupled with the right technology solutions and user experience. I think those three things together, executed successfully, is the power of financial product.
That seems like a perfect point to wrap up this conversation. Thank you so much, Jason, for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here.
Great. And until next time, choose to be curious.